Okay, I have a joke for you. Knock, knock. Orange. Aren't you glad you don't have to hear one more sermon about David? The last 3 weeks have been rough with David. I think it's time to move on. And that brings us to Deuteronomy. And the book of Deuteronomy, I know I've told you this before, but it is one of my most favorite books of the Bible. Yes, you heard me right. Deuteronomy, the book Moses wrote in his last days. Sort of like, it's like a dying father giving his children his last thoughts and ideas on life. He's appealing to his people with the hope that they would continue to follow God's commands that he'd given them. He wants to make sure that the people have all they need to be successful in their new life in the promised land. Now, you would think a combination of a farewell speech and a reminder of their legal obligations. Wow, that sounds like some great read, doesn't it? But that couldn't be further from the truth. The book of Deuteronomy is some of the most beautiful and some of the most grace-filled words you will ever find in Scripture. And if you don't believe me, when you get home this afternoon, read Deuteronomy. It's only 30-some-odd chapters. You can knock that off. You're not going outside, so you may as well read, right? I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now, the imagery that's used here is typical Old Testament imagery. It's a courtroom, essentially. Typical setting for a lot of the books of the prophets in the Old Testament. Moses is calling heaven and earth as witnesses. So imagine this amazing courtroom where heaven and earth themselves are witnesses to the contract that God is making with God's people just before they enter the promised land. Now they have the choice of life or death. Choosing life means blessings, and obviously choosing death brings curses. Israel will go on to swear to live or swear to choose life as their choice, even though history will prove otherwise. But that's a different sermon. Now, who in their right mind wouldn't choose life? I mean, it's so obvious, right? Moses tells the people that part of choosing life means that we must do our best to live up to the statutes and the laws and the commandments of God. Now, unfortunately, Moses has just spent 33 chapters giving a sermon that probably would have lasted 10 hours, spelling out in no uncertain terms about how God wants them to live. Moses spells out in those 33 chapters regulations about punishment and mercy, treating slaves and those who work for you, caring for widows and orphans, rules for providing for the poor, how to dispense justice fairly, rules during warfare, prohibitions against revenge, and countless other circumstances of life. But he never really says what it means to choose life. He makes it pretty obvious about what it means to choose death, as if we need any help in that. Now, you and I can easily think about hundreds of ways that we as individuals or we as a society choose death every day. How often do we act unjustly or arrogantly or from a spirit of just plain old meanness? You know the old joke, sometimes I wake up grumpy. Sometimes I let him sleep. How many times do we make that choice? How many ways do we fail to or just not want to question the institutions or agencies that we create and support who may not be serving the people that need the help the most? How many major life-changing decisions do we make way too casually that may start us on a course of what turns out to be death? Decisions that we might not have made if we were more prudent or diligent in our reasoning. How much time and energy do we spend justifying the wrong things we do and the bad choices we make? It's easy to see the many ways we choose death, but how do we choose life? That's the tougher part to see. Now, one thing I love about crossing the border into Nebraska is seeing the state motto on all of those welcome signs. Well, the current state motto. I hope you know the motto, right? What is the good life, right? You see it on every sign. Welcome to Nebraska, the good life. I think that's something like what Moses is telling the people to do, to enter the promised land and lead that good life, to choose life, not death. Because left to our own devices, too often we make those countless little choices that seem to be not so bad individually, right? But they add up pretty quickly and lead us to places that we figure out we'd rather not be. So here in his farewell speech, Moses is pretty explicit and very clear about what it means to choose life. He finally gets around to it. And all boils down to two little things. Do what God tells you to do, and keep your hearts from turning to false gods. Now that sounds pretty simple, right? After all, we've been taught since we were children how to behave and how to tell right from wrong. That we may not always choose to do the right all of the time, but we know right from wrong. As for the idol thing, well, we don't very often in this day and age have to worry too much about idol worship. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. And then following that is a list of rules and regulations, or following a list of rules and regulations, if you think about it, it's never very joyful or life-giving. But what if instead we were to hear Moses asking us to choose life or death in the echoes of words that Moses spoke a little earlier in Deuteronomy, when he gives the people words that Jesus will also use? I think you'll recognize. And Moses tells the people, you shall love the Lord your God with all your, and all of your, and all of your, and this too. That's the essence of choosing life. When you look at it that way, I think how we need to live becomes a lot clearer and more obvious. When we look at the choice of life or death as a sum of the countless little things we do or we don't do each day. When we look at choosing life as choosing to love God, heart and soul, with all of who and what we are. What if we were to try to choose life not by following rules, but by trying to love God and each other just a little bit at a time, just for today, choose life, the good life. See how it goes. And tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, you can just keep making that same choice over and over. And then it doesn't seem so overwhelming. Just for today, choose life. Just for today, don't complain about your problems, whether they're physical or financial or relationship or emotional. Just for today, ask someone else how they're doing. And you know what? Mean it when you ask them. And sit and listen to them tell you, no matter how long it takes for them to finish, without interrupting, without offering advice. And don't just pretend to listen and wait for your turn to unload afterwards, right? Because how many times do we do that? We ask how someone else is doing so we can say, well, let me tell you about me if you think you have it bad. Just for today, exercise your brain. Learn something new. Pick up that book you stopped reading because you felt it was too hard. Anyone have that book at home that you started reading and it's like, oh Lord, I'm never going to get through this? Go home and finish it. Read a classic. Stretch your brain with a crossword puzzle. Learn a new skill. Take up a new hobby. Do something to strengthen your mind. Just for today, put all of your love into what you're doing. When you're at work, jump into it with all of yourself. Don't hold back. Be the employee or the student or the friend. You know that one you secretly admire, the one who just has it all together and does everything right all the time and is just perfect. Be that person. Cook dinner like you were making it for Jesus. Make something that you'd only make at a holiday and act like it's a holiday. Do something for someone without first being asked. And more importantly, without expecting anything in return, right? Because how often do we do things for someone else because we really want them to then turn around and do something for us? Play your happy song as loud as you can and sing along with it at the top of your lungs. Maybe you do that one in private, I think. Everyone have a happy song? You know your happy song. And if you want to really live on the edge, do your happy dance. And I know if you have a happy song, you have a happy dance that probably no one else has seen. Do it. Forgive someone who you know doesn't deserve your forgiveness. Then with each tomorrow, remember your choice to forgive and live like you mean it. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for the time you did you know what, and you just can't get over it. Let the past stay in the past, and let the dead bury the dead, as Jesus will say. Live like you would if you believed you were forgiven, until you do believe it. Just for today, choose life. Every day, in a million different ways, we have the option to choose life and choose death. Each choice, small and insignificant on our own, but when done over a lifetime, add up to life or death. When, today, is it better for you not to add your 2 cents worth? When is it better not to get that last word in? What attitude or commentary could your family or your friends be better off not hearing from you just for today? Just for today, choose life. Try to be like that wonderful, loving, and caring person that you envy so much. Do one nice thing for someone who can't pay you back. And don't tell anyone else about it. Let it be your little secret. Just for today, choose life. Now, for those of you who have cats and dogs or whatever pet, you know your cat or dog, let's face it. They love you and think you are the most special person in the world, right? Even when you are not. What if you were to live like, you know, the stupid old bumper sticker? What if you were to be that person that your cat or dog thinks that you really are? But what about when it goes wrong? Terribly wrong. What about when we forget to choose life? What about when the choices we make are more like curses than they are like blessings? What about when we take the wrong turn? When we choose the wrong path? Or we just plain old screw up royally? What about when our hens come home to roost? Then what? Then what do we do? Then we go back and read the first half of the chapter. Tom read 15 through 30 in Deuteronomy, chapter 30. You need to read 1 through 14 to find out what to do. And that's your homework on this rainy afternoon. You see, you don't even have to read all of Deuteronomy, just those first 14 verses. But here's the answer. It's a trick question. God already knows how our choosing life will turn out, and that's where grace comes in. Today I sit before you, life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. Amen.